Magic lamp? Wonder what happens when I rub it.
You have awakened me. I shall grant you 3 wishes.
My first wish is for economic development. My second wish is to save hours of travel time. And my third wish is to create safer roads.
You could have just wished for bus rapid transit and gotten all these things with one wish.
Make all your transit wishes come true. Learn more about bus rapid transit at indigo.net/bus-rapid-transit.
So that's how you come back and tie a series. Good Lord. Pacers didn't just win last night. I mean, they beat them senseless. 121 for your Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks 89, and it wasn't that close. It was net. Don't get me wrong. The Pacers got outscored in the fourth quarter, 26-20. But by, I mean, first quarter, the score was 34-14. This is crazy. So this series is now tied up 2-2. You go back to New York, and the question is, can you get Game 5? Because you need Game 5. Because you have to have Game 5. You do not want to have to win 2 more in a row, including one on the road. You want to win 3. You want to close this out. You want Game 6 right here in Indianapolis, done, finished, complete. That's what you're going for. So you've got Game 5 tomorrow in New York, and then Friday night, Game 6 at the Fieldhouse. This is what you're looking for. This is what you want more than anything. Got to win Game 5. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. The response, the reaction, the fans, everything. Absolutely everything. So that's there. Then you've got not the Indy 500. That's coming up. But you had the Indy Grand Prix, and you got Alex Palou. Is it Palou? It's Palou. I can get it right. Sorry there, Mr. Palou. From the pole and winning it all. But if the Grand Prix, the Santiago Grand Prix, the road course, could have the kind of movement it had for like those first laps, like all the time, more people would show up. Many, many more people will show up. People who went to the Grand Prix actually got their money's worth. That much is for sure. And now we're on the clock. Now we are on the clock, and we have got, is it 2 weeks? It's 14. 14 days. 14 days. Yeah, it's not 13 days. No, it's 13 days. It's 13 days, 4 hours, 49 minutes, and 31 seconds. Luckily, we have a clock over at WIBC.com. 13 days away from the Indianapolis 500, and you'll hear it here on WIBC. I am ready for the pre-race. It's going to be solid. Oh, and I have tickets to the 500. We'll give those away later. Just keep listening. Maybe this hour, maybe the next hour. I do not know. It is all a bit of whimsy at this stage of the game. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
I don't know what the temperature is, Matt Bear. I'm not sure. What do you want it to be? Make it as warm or as cold as you'd like. Nothing.
75.
It's 57. Close. It was inverted.
Damn it.
Although I told you can make it what you want, and then I was like, no, you're wrong. That's always good.
You can't go wrong with 75.
No, you can't.
I'm telling you what, I know my
temperatures. That's just good advice right
now. I'm not
there.
Even a meteorologist, and I know that.
Oh. The show is setting records for intellectual heft.
Yes.
57 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 6:16.
Don't you ever military way to get rid of Hamas, given the threat that they pose, given that they say their very goal is to destroy Israel's existence?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Look, Hamas is that is exactly right. That is their goal. It is difficult. I don't want to minimize this. So the goal is to defeat Hamas, but not to destroy or cause the enormous amount of destruction that we're now seeing in Gaza. And I hope that the future for the Palestinian people is a new generation of Palestinian leaders who focus on allowing the people to have a state of their own. We got to support a two-state solution, improving the economy, rebuilding the economy. That's the long-term goal.
Bernie Sanders is not a bright man. Bernie Sanders, in that clip, explains to you the problem. And the problem is, he thinks he's dealing with a rational group of people. Bernie Sanders clearly wants to be harmed. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning, good to be with you. He clearly wants to be hurt. Bernie Sanders wants to suffer. Not because I said so. It's because he said so. We have to find a two-state solution. Hamas doesn't want a two-state solution. That is left-wing claptrap. Hold on. I didn't say there couldn't be one. I said that's not what Hamas wants. They've proven it. They've stated it in their charter, in their actions. As of October 7th, the bombings from Hamas that still take place, there are only four battalions left, as we are told by the Israeli Defense Forces. But they still have others out there and these battalions engaging attacks on Israel still. They are saying, okay, we'll take a ceasefire now, and they're still attacking. Does this make sense to anybody? They've told you what they're about. Every single one of these protesters has told you what they're about. They're about the annihilation of Israel, not a two-state solution. Have you heard anyone, anywhere, anyone at IU, at Columbia, at NYU, at UCLA, USC, Northwestern? Have you heard anybody say two-state solution? Of course not. Because that's not what it's about. This is not what they are in favor of. They're in favor of destruction. So what is Bernie Sanders talking about? You keep claiming that Hamas can be defeated without an enormous amount of destruction. Well, what's the proper amount of destruction? The problem with dealing with progressives in a world like this is that they are dishonest. They're dishonest because they actually think that somehow there's a certain level of limitation or a certain level of acceptability. Since they change the rules every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, you never know what the proper amount of anything is. If they stepped on a daisy, would it be too much destruction? How about the bulldozing of three schools where Hamas keeps weapons? What would be the proper amount of destruction? It's a question that needs an answer. And we should be clear that Bernie doesn't have that answer. And any destruction they'll decide is, well, Israel didn't have to do this. These are unserious people for very serious times. There's something else in this. You may have caught this already in your social media feeds over the weekend, which I hope you didn't. I hope you weren't me, and I hope you weren't somebody who's has to pay attention to this. Now, that's why I'm here. I'm here so you can enjoy Mother's Day weekend, so you can enjoy the Pacers, so you can enjoy absolutely amazing, brilliant weather. I'm here for you. I'm here to take that stress right off your plate. It was Greta Thunberg, this child, this really ugly, despicable child, who I pity in great ways. We're talking about the one who was
abused in the world of climate change. And here, trot her out there and she'll take a sailboat across the Atlantic and she'll talk about the environment and she'll do this and she'll give nasty looks to Donald Trump like it means something. And no one said, child, don't you look at an adult like that. No one said that. The adults cheered her on because abusing her was the name of the game. Well, she has now decided everywhere she goes, she's going to Donna Kafia, right? This symbol of the Palestinian, which all these white women wear, and no one says cultural appropriation. All of a sudden, it's okay. I don't know how this happened. Now, she's out there engaged in active protest for the destruction of Israel, and she's not mincing words.
Here to show that we think it is outrageous and inexcusable for Eurovision to let Israel participate while committing a genocide. Yes, it's a song contest where Israel, a country that is currently committing a genocide in Gaza, are allowed to compete.
First, she's talking about Eurovision. It is a massive singing competition in Europe, and people perform from all over the globe. It is an insanity of an event that takes Europe by storm. And of course, the winner this year is non-binary because those are the rules. And what do you want me to say? There are men and there are women, and that's all there is to it. People are angry that Israel competed. How dare you let Israel compete? And that's what Greta Thunberg is talking about. How many times is she going to say the word genocide in 30 seconds?
Yeah, that is a very clear example that does say that when a country accepts in a way that, when a country behaves in a way that is unacceptable, then Eurovision excludes them. So why not Israel?
So Israel should be excluded. Israel's the problem. Israel's the issue again and again and over and over. I pity this little child, this absolutely pathetic woman. How could you not? And if you say to me, you can't talk that way about Greta Thunberg, she's a child, she's not a child anymore. I'll say anything I want. There are propaganda posters from the era of the Nazis with the little girl with the pigtails. There's pictures of Greta Thunberg with the pigtails, and you're like, oh yeah, there it is. This is an example of how ideologies flow into ideologies. Is anybody surprised that somebody connected with green this and green that would be this person as well? And the answer is no. Of course not, because all of these things are connected, not in the anti-Semitism, but in the destruction of Western culture and Western civilization. And when you see such a prime example of it, it's so spelled out for you. I mean, it's good to use and explain to other people. Bernie Sanders engaged in an idea of policy that nobody who is protesting and nobody who is Hamas actually wants. They don't want the two-state solution. They want the destruction. And to prove that, there's Greta Thunberg marching down the street, never once saying Hamas did something wrong. When they tell you who they are, believe them. They are violent, and in the case of Bernie Sanders, they want to be hurt. Thank goodness Bernie Sanders doesn't represent my people, or you.
Whenever I'm out a-wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Where friendly today folks on can a marketplace, raise the rafters. Can you buy used cowboy boots? I'm saying I don't know. I don't know what the rules are with this, and I could use a little bit of help. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. All right. All I'm told is that once you break in a pair of cowboy boots, you'll never wear anything else. The breaking in part, that's a little bit like torture. It's a little bit like, you know, having to listen to a recitation of economic theory from Ocasio-Cortez. It's a little bit of roughness. This is what I'm told. This is what I'm told by the people. It's not easy. So, but once you break it in, as opposed to listening to Ocasio-Cortez tell you about economics, the cowboy boots are actually worthwhile. This is Justin Boots 10.5 E. E. What is it? What is E? Is that, that's the width, right? Is that what that is? E is the width, correct there, Producer Carl? You know about cowboy boots.
Why do you think I know about cowboy boots?
Because it had to be one of us, and it clearly wasn't me.
It's not me. It's Matt.
Matt doesn't know anything about cowboy boots.
You wear tube socks when you break them in.
Is that right?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I've never broken in a pair of cowboy boots, but I'd put on tube socks. And,
like, you know, Battle of the Network Stars kind of tube socks?
Oh, you, the big things. You know, things you wear during the wintertime when you have to shovel snow.
Those are not tube socks. Those are like heavy-duty wool socks.
Well, I mean, it could be whatever you want them to be. But
no, it really can't. A tube sock is, it's got like the two, they're white, and then they've got the stripe of two, one color, but two stripes there at the top, letting you know, hey, we're about to, at the end of the sock. And it's a system that you know that the sock is ending. And that's a tube sock.
They're thick socks for the cowboy.
Do you have cowboy boots?
No, I've never worn cowboy boots, unfortunately. I'd love to. I just
so
don't.
You don't know if you can buy used cowboy, because these are cool, right? They're brown and blue, and they've got like a pattern.
I think they're awesome. Yeah.
You know, I put them up there. You can follow me at Tony Katz on X, and you'll find them. It says they're new condition, they're Western style, because the last thing you want is a cowboy boot that is not Western style. You don't want those non-Western cowboy boots.
No, you don't want Arkansas cowboy boots. You want the
I think the people of Arkansas would disagree.
It's their pride.
You don't want Massachusetts cowboy boots.
There you go. Yeah.
See that? There's the difference. They're going for $75 or best offer. I don't know if you can make a deal on these things. But I just don't know. Can you buy used cowboy boots?
Well, the best thing about it is they already look worn, so your fellow cowboys and cowgirls are not going to make fun of you for buying new cowboy boots. They'll be like, yeah, this guy's the real deal.
But I don't think anybody makes fun of you for buying cowboy boots. That's my point.
Well, they're shiny and new, obviously. You know, you're not a real cowboy. That's what I'm thinking.
You're just getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find your way. Not everybody's going to, you know, have broken in cowboy boots from the word go. At one time, they're new, and you got to break them in for yourself.
Like you're discovering land out west. Manifest destiny.
That's a lesson for life, Matt Bear. How does this come about, by the way? I forgot to explain. During the breaks, I like to clear my head, get ready for what's next. I end up on Facebook Marketplace looking at what's going on and what cool things people are selling. And so now I share it with you today on the Marketplace. Sponsorship's now available. Can you buy used cowboy boots? This is the question. But would you buy these? I guess that's personal preference, right? That's about personal style.
Because
of the blue and everything else. You tell me. You decide. Take a look. Let me know. We celebrate it every day. What's going on Facebook Marketplace where people are selling all sorts of stuff. Honestly, if you have stuff to sell and it's not a marketplace, I'll check out other things. But if you make me join next door, I'm going to be very angry. Super duper angry. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Oh, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Boatman. Wait, hey, Mr. Boatman.
Mr. Boatman, look at me.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind the topic. Because as the story is presented from a poll from a group called Intelligent, which is a magazine that focuses on higher education, an online magazine. I know nothing about the actual magazine itself. They happen to do a study based on those involved in the anti-Israel protests. That's not the story. The idea of what they're protesting is not the story. The story is where they get their news that then drives their decisions. Where do those in the college set get actual information from? And the answer that was found here was TikTok. That's the problem. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Now, according to the poll, 65% of students support the recent protests. This was 763 full-time students that were a part of this thing. Now, this poll flies in the face of other polling that we have seen that shows the vast majority of college students want nothing to do with this nonsense. And everything else that they're seeing, the vast majority of people want to just, you know, go about their lives, take their finals, do their things. But this discusses the idea of those students who found themselves having sympathy for Hamas. And that requires taking a step back. Because somebody engaged in an action is different than building a feeling that someone may have, that someone has, and that might turn into an action in the future. So two things could very well be true at the same time. Maybe they aren't diametrically opposed. Maybe you have a situation where the vast majority of college students don't want to be involved in any of this nonsense. But they're being fed information on the daily through algorithms that are meant to create a sympathy with a terrorist organization, so possibly there is a future action from them that is supportive of the terrorist organization. The problem with TikTok being a news source seems pretty apparent at that moment. And for those people who say, well, you could go on TikTok and create content that was supportive of Israel. Yes, I could. Now the question is, who gets to see it? The algorithm. And you got to love the way that I say that. Like somehow it just rolls trippingly off the tongue. Like I'm a person who has just said it for the first time ever in their lives. Algorithm. If it doesn't allow a voice like mine to be heard by the 19-year-old at IU, well, then it is effectively silenced. If I'm talking about the same conflict, feel the air quotes, but my content isn't shown, but content from a 19-year-old girl wearing a keffiyeh and screaming about the poor Palestinians is shown, there's the issue. And if it's all that you see, if it is indeed your news source, you're not actually getting anything. Remember what we talk about here. We say this often. I am not here to tell you what to think. I am here to give you something to think about and introduce Matt Bear. Like, these are my two things. This is what I do. And sometimes the order is reversed. Sometimes I introduce Matt Bear and then give you something to think about. That is it. Tell you what to think? The idea that I think I could tell you what to think is hilarious. But TikTok is absolutely in the business of serving here's what you should think. Here's how we in communist China disrupt the United States. This survey just furthers in me the need to end TikTok. Has to be ended. We're not talking about an American company here. We're talking about a foreign adversary who is clearly an adversary. But even if it wasn't TikTok, what is actually getting served up? There was a piece that I came across. It was on X, and people were amazed. It was Joe Scarborough of MSNBC. Here's the post. The UN halves, means cut in half, estimates of women and children killed in Gaza. Apparently, the Hamas figures repeatedly cited are false. Is that right? Hamas, a terrorist organization, is lying? Who would have ever thunk it that a terrorist organization is lying? Everybody who is anybody knew that Hamas puts out false information, that the Gaza Health Ministry is Hamas, and they lie about everything. But how many people at MSNBC repeated these lies over and 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 over again? I think Israel should sue them for defamation. They knew it was a lie, and yet they said it anyway. What's the difference between that and Dominion? And Dominion voting? What's the difference? How many MSNBC hosts pushed the lie knowing it was a lie? Apparently. So TikTok isn't my only problem. But TikTok is the one I could do something about legislatively. Not what they've already got through. No. I don't think that's going to hold. Legislatively, you can't allow the communist Chinese to own businesses, serve information in the U.S. Not if you want to survive. No shot. So it seems that Joe Hogsett has found his guy. He's found his guy. The one who is going to, you know, sponsor this new tax district for this new stadium. Why we can't utilize the old stadium, no one really has an answer for that. But Bob Ossoli, the city county council president, is going to do the mayor's bidding. What did I say? It's the godfather. The one who comes to you with the deal is the one who betrayed you. So basically, Vop Ossoli is Fish. Fish was from Barney Miller, and the character of Salvatore Tessio was played by Abe Vigoda, and Tessio is the one who came with the deal to Michael Corleone after the death of Don Corleone. Honestly, it's very important to watch these movies. Proposal 175, which creates a professional sports development area, is going to be introduced today at the city county council meeting. This is how you slam something through. This is how you work politically, people. This is how it's done. Good Lord. You guys are not screwing around. No. And then, of course, there's the question of what do the Simons know? As I discussed this last week, a company affiliated with the Simon family who own the Pacers have purchased a piece of land in the area that Hogsett needs, 5.2 acres. They bought it for $10 million. And it was under a corporation name that has the same offices as a bunch of different Simon groups and organizations. So we now know who's involved. So what of this deal that Ersal Ozdemir has put together to bring on the guy who founded Sweetwater Sound? And if this all sounds like just a foreign language to you, allow me to help. The Indy 11 are a minor league soccer club founded by Ersal Ozdemir, who owns Keystone Group, which builds hotels and buildings and all sorts of things. They've been wanting to go Major League Soccer. They've been working with the state for a decade to be able to put together these tax districts that would help the funding of a stadium, whether you like that or not, is secondary to the story. I get your point. He finally helps the General Assembly get this through and make this happen. They get through a tax district in Indianapolis. They announced the purchase of the Diamond Chain building to build a new stadium called 11 Park. The mayor, Joe Hogsett, is there for the groundbreaking along with the governor. And then a month ago, they break off all communication with the Indy 11 and announce that they're going to go it alone in Major League Soccer. And they're going to apply for a team because clearly the league said to them, hey, we've got an ownership group for you. And it seems rather clear that the Simons are a part of it. They can deny it. I'm saying that that's what it looks like. I would love to know if they're denying it. I would love to know their official position, not the nonsense that you've been putting out to the press. We just want to see the city grow. Have you had conversations with Major League Soccer? Have you had conversations with Mayor Hogsett about this specific setup? And are you putting together or have you been approached to be a part of a new ownership group in Indianapolis? That's it. And nothing else will do. Just answers, please. Just answers. And I like the people at the Pacers, but you guys have to answer questions. Because what it looks like from the side of Hogsett is they were working a deal with the Indy 11 and then said, nope, this girl's prettier, and then left the Indy 11. And if you were somebody doing a deal with the city of Indianapolis, would you ever trust the city again? That's the question we've been asking from the beginning. In order to create the new stadium, they have to create a new area that has a new tax district that has to be passed by the city and then approved by the state. So we asked, who's going to bring the deal? Who is going to sponsor the possibility of this new tax district? Because Kristen Jones, who represents the district there, she didn't know. She didn't know who was possibly going to do this and put this together. Who is going to sponsor such a thing? And my point was, whoever sponsors the thing is the one who has said, I will side with Joe Hogsett and I don't care about the reputation of the city. And it turns out, that someone is Vop Ossoli, who will now sponsor this piece of legislation that will be heard in front of the City County Council today. And the City County Council does not have to vote for this. They don't have to be a part of this. They can say, hey, maybe this isn't the way we do things. Maybe this is the kind of stuff that's just beneath us. This is the kind of stuff for Chicago. This isn't who we are. I'm not saying that the Indy 11 have to be the team. I'm not saying that there aren't realities that we don't know and deals that can't be made. I'm saying a deal like this is gross. And the damage done to Indianapolis is massive. So maybe we should not do that to Indianapolis. We'll see what happens tonight. You now know the story. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Do you like good music? That sweet soul music. Just long and it's sweet.
Are teacher layoffs coming? I'm not saying specifically to the state of Indiana. The story over at News Nation stating that there's going to be a sharp decline in funding that's coming, and that means there are going to be teachers and school staff who are expecting to lose their jobs. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. Find everything going on at TonyKatz.com, TonyKatz. You had all this COVID relief money, $190 billion, largest single injection of federal money into U.S. public education. That's all going away. And so I assume instead of the cuts, you'll hear people say, no, we need this money. We desperately have to have this money. Why do you not care about children? And Randy Weingarten will scream and yell and do all the rest. And, who knows? Maybe we'll just keep spending. Our problem is education as is doesn't work. We need a society where parents take back education. We push away the Department of Education. We push away the radicalness of control, and we bring it back to a more community level. I wonder if Jennifer McCormick agrees or disagrees with that, that education has failed. Because not that the teacher has failed, but that the system that brings about the teacher and the system that the teacher is forced to pay into, the union, has failed. I wonder if she'd admit to that. Might be a conversation for another day. Meanwhile, we'll see. We will see whether or not there are big levels of layoffs, and we'll see how the states, specifically the state of Indiana and the federal government, react. Meantime, the popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. I have a couple of things regarding Trump. And especially the people who are reacting to this rally that took place over the weekend in New Jersey. The silliness of the argument versus the reality of the situation. But CNN still puts Fareed Zakaria on TV. And Fareed Zakaria is a guy who plagiarized. For what reason is he still somehow trusted? Then again, CNN is the network that brought back Jeffrey Toobin. And Jeffrey Toobin quite literally... wait, hold on. I don't know how to say this. On a live Zoom, live stream, he was himself with himself. Yeah. Honestly, I think that's the best I could do on that one, honestly. But Fareed Zakaria still has a job. Fareed, F-A-R-E-E-D is his first name. But what is Fareed Zakaria talking about? That Trump's got real support.
And the trials against him keep him in the spotlight, infuriate his base, who sees him as a martyr, and even may serve to make him the object of some sympathy among people in general who believe that his prosecutors are politically motivated. This happens to be true, in my opinion. I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump. A majority of Americans are skeptical that Trump will be able to get a fair trial, according to a CNN poll.
So even Fareed Zakaria admits that the case against Trump is politically motivated. Well, of course it is. Part of his other conversation was the admission that Joe Biden can't beat this guy. Joe Biden cannot beat this guy. So now I ask you, take a step back, and we're going to get into some Trump conversation coming up. Take a step back, take away your own politics, and start asking the question as I have. Where I started in this conversation, even though lately I've had people say to me and explain to me why it is that Biden will remain on the ticket, that you simply cannot get him off the ticket. He is the sitting president and he will not leave. But allow me to say to you, take away your own politics and let's look at it like observers. How can anybody think Joe Biden is the best guy for Democrats to run this term? How could anybody possibly think it? I put forth to you that it's impossible to think such a thing. It is insane to think such a thing. You have to be deluded to think such a thing. So why is it that the Democratic Party is still thinking it? Well, part of the answer, as explained, is that the party doesn't necessarily have any control. He's the president, and he's running, and he's the head of the party, and that's the end. You can't convince him, you can't move him, you can't get him to admit reality. Which means that the Democratic argument for why he's still on the ticket is equal to the argument that Americans have about Joe Biden's incapacity and inability to do the actual job. My gosh, that's a lot of negative. And I didn't say look at it politically. That was just as the observer. And as an observer, let's talk about what happened in New Jersey. That is coming up right now. It's hard to have a nation if you don't have people. And it isn't just those in the world of despotism who talk about birth rates. Tony Katz.
93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. This is the Wall Street Journal today. Suddenly, there aren't enough babies. The whole world is alarmed. I get it. It's something to be alarmed about. You don't have people who are having enough children to remake the population. Certainly what happens in those situations is that you lose out to those societies that do create more children. And that is something to be fully aware of and to a great extent alarmed by. But you have, you take a look at the numbers. In 1950, 4.86, and now we're at 2.32. That's in 70 years. We've cut the amount of children we have in half. Well, Tony, that's better for the environment. The planet can't handle all these people. Of course it can. The people who say that are crazy people. Deranged people say those kinds of things. Deranged people who want to state that somehow we are parasites in the world. We are not. Not in any way, shape, or form. People are not the problem. The U.S. replacement rate, right? So the global replacement rate is 2.2. The U.S. is at 1.62, not 2.2. 1.62. South Korea is at 0.72. South Korea will cease to be a nation. The United States has a different mathematics to it, in which birth rate, you could argue, doesn't apply to a nation that can have anybody be an American as long as they subscribe to an idea. It makes us different. The only way to be South Korean is to be South Korean. The only way to be Chinese is to be Chinese. To be American is a very different math. But if you are not engaged in population and you do not hold to the standard that makes America America, well, then it all gets really ugly really quick. The birth rate issue also connects to an idea of whether or not our kids are having sex.
Hey, phrase it.
What? You create an entire society that tells them to be afraid of dating, to be afraid of making a move, afraid of this, permission for every little thing. You get attacked if you do anything wrong, even when you did nothing wrong. And you're amazed when people say, screw it, I'm going to stick to my basement and porn. I'm not even anti-porn, but it's not a way to live. You feminize society. You attack maleness and manhood and masculinity at every single step. And then you wonder why it is that people aren't having relationships. You look at testosterone rates. These things all connect. We are not doing good for our society because we're allowing people who want our society not to be good to be in charge. I'm just a big proponent of taking it back. We should teach our kids, first of all, we should be the one teaching them sex education. And when you're in a relationship, sex is good. And relationships are good. And it's better than anything that's going to happen via a computer. Anything. All right, maybe it'll give you some ideas, but then you want to put them into actual application. Stop being afraid. Stop thinking that you're being put upon. My gosh, don't ever be afraid to say no. Don't ever be afraid to say this isn't for me. But we need to be a society that teaches that sex is good. And that children are good. Oh, and by the way, that only women give birth. So happy Mother's Day, if I forgot to say happy Mother's Day. And just a reminder that only women give birth. Men have never given birth in the history of time, and they never will.
Men don't give birth. This is also very important. Let's recognize that women actually play a role in society that is far greater than they are given credit for in terms of children, and recognize them with Mother's Day, and also a recognition that women are different than men. That would be very, very, very helpful. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Donald Trump have 100,000 people at his rally in New Jersey. This is what we're arguing about? You know, people are ridiculous, right? They're ridiculous. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Silly, embarrassing, pathetic. 100,000 people. I don't know. This was the number they came out with. They said 100,000 people were at his rally in New Jersey. There were a lot of people. It was a huge crowd. It was nutty. This was down in Wildwood, southern New Jersey. Wildwood is where you would go and spend a couple weeks in the summer, kind of a boardwalk feel, and you know, do things you'd regret with people who also regretted it. Yeah, that's Wildwood. Associated Press saying that a spokesperson for the city of Wildwood estimated there were between 80,000 and 100,000 people at the rally. None of it matters. Was it 50,000? Was it 100,000? Was it 24,000? Was it 83,000? That's the conversation for the MSNBC crowd. You know what our conversation is? New Jersey's a left-leaning state, and tens of thousands of people, regardless of the number, showed up in a rally so big it was hard to ignore. That's the story. That's the story. That if you are somebody who doesn't like Trump, the world doesn't care. If you're somebody who thinks Trump shouldn't be elected, the world doesn't see it the way you do. I'm not saying that you can't see it that way. I never deny you the ability to go out there and think the way you do and vote the way you want. You don't owe anybody your vote. You owe it to yourself to vote the way you see fit. But this idea that everything they've thrown at Trump, whether it be the trials or whether it be the, you know, the indictments, whether it be the he's a threat to democracy, it's not working. It's not working because Joe Biden is worse. Joe Biden's worse. The conversation clearly revolves around the fact that Joe Biden can't run a country, whether we talk about the economy, whether we talk about the southern border, whether we talk about China, whether we talk about the Middle East. He can't do it. Every policy he has is a failure, and everybody in America feels it. It's not a debate. It's just the facts. And everything Biden does moves people into Trump's camp. Now, are the Republicans smart enough to be able to take this and turn it into a goodwill that then goes down the line? It was an interesting story from Politico that Republicans are trying to tamp down expectations. Why in the world are they trying to tamp down expectations? Well, first, it goes to the idea that Republicans see the ability to take 5 seats in the Senate and gain control of the Senate. Well, that's pretty excellent. But the real reason why they're trying to bring down expectations is something we've discussed on this show numerous times. Politics is an expectations game. If the expectation is great and you don't hit it, you've underperformed. That reflects poorly on you. If the expectation is low and you overachieve, well, then my gosh, how terrific, how incredible. So you got to try and keep the expectations down. Take a look at 2022. Oh, it was going to be a red wave this and a red wave that, and then nothing came. The expectation wasn't hit. Very distressing, very depressing. Republicans learning that lesson, reminding themselves, keeping it in an even place, keeping things low. But they also have to be asking themselves, how do they take this Trump goodwill, if you will, or really this Trump enthusiasm because it's an anti-Biden enthusiasm, and turn it into something that will help them down the line in the Senate and in the House? Because I think it's interesting that there's this idea that they can win the Senate. I've got nothing that shows me they keep the House. I want it. But I'm willing to believe they could go a bunch of different ways. This is all bad news for Biden once again. Mayor Joe Hogsett has found his guy. He's found the guy to bring forward the proposal to change the tax district for a new stadium.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
That's Bob Bosley, who is going to bring that before the City County Council this evening. He's the City County Council president, doing the bidding of Joe Hogsett. I guess they worked out the deal for no term four, so Vop could finally be mayor. All right, it might have been another deal, right? I'm not saying that I've got it right. That's a bit of guesswork on my part, but it was something. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. Oh, it's getting shadier by the second, everybody. Worse and worse as we go on with this stadium. The Trump trial is still going on. And Michael Cohen is going to take the stand. And anybody who believes Michael Cohen is out of their minds. The fixer, Donald Trump's fixer. Trump didn't know this guy was no good from the beginning. Look, I'm voting for him, but he doesn't hire the best people. Just so we're, I don't want to argue it with you. He doesn't hire the best people. He hires sycophants, and that's not always what you need. And if you tell me somehow that's being anti-Trump, you're just wrong. And that's all there is. And we're not going to have to argue it. I already said I'm voting for him. We can move on. But you hire Michael Cohen, and you didn't know from word go that guy was going to turn, was going to drop a dime on you. That guy was going to turn rat on you. Michael Cohen's Hebrew name is Turn Rat. What are you talking about? By the way, I'm going to get emails for that. Don't forget to copy my rabbi on those emails. You see, so wait, am I saying that if I wasn't Jewish, I wouldn't be able to tell that joke? That joke is good and solid no matter where it is. I put it up with anything out there. I apologize for nothing. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is taking it on the chin. Because she, talking about these students who are engaged in these protests everywhere, they don't know what they're doing. And she said they don't know very much at all about the history of the Middle East or, frankly, about history in many areas of the world, including our own country. And Chris Van Hollen, the senator from Maryland, who clearly has a thing for Hamas and a thing against Israel, pick one, or maybe both. He's like, well, what a mistake that Hillary Clinton has made here. I mean, she's really being dismissive of these very important student protests and the words that they're using. I mean, the students matter so greatly. How could she say such a thing? Well, it's simple. You say such a thing because such a thing needs to be said. it needs to be discussed. It's weird that I would agree with Hillary Clinton, but she's right. Hillary Clinton is 100% right. And guys like Chris Van Hollen are 100% wrong. That's just one of the many stories. Meanwhile, Gary Dick's going to join us. We go inside Indiana business. We have got the race coming up, and that means we're going to get a whole bunch of money coming to town. How much that is, we will get into that. And now that the WNBA is getting started, exactly how big is this Caitlin Clark, what do they call it? Effect. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Do you believe in magic? In a young girl's heart, how the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic.
So you've got the Caitlin Clark effect, you've got the Indy 500. And you have, this week, the whole conversation coming to a head, to a finality, on this double tracking of the South Shore. And you're like, do I care about trains? This project has been going on for years. This has been discussed for decades. What does it actually mean, not just for Northwest Indiana? Tony Katz, good to be with you. Gary Dick joins us from InsideIndianaBusiness.com, on X at IIB, personally at Gary Dick, G-E-R-R-Y at Gary Dick, on the X right there. Walk me through it. The South Shore Rail Line, this double tracking, how does this come to be? How long has this been going? And what is the expected result?
Yeah, and you're right, Tony. Why should we care about a rail line extension improvements in Northwest Indiana? The implications really are, if you dig down into it, pretty substantial. The South Shore Rail Line essentially goes from the South Bend area through Northwest Indiana into downtown Chicago. For decades, as you suggest, it's been talked about. How do you upgrade it? How do you make it better? How does it become quicker to get from Northwest Indiana to Chicago? Two massive projects. One, the double tracking, so making it, two sets of tracks, so you're going each way in Northwest Indiana. That project, $650 million, has just been completed. In fact, today there will be a major event. Governor Holcomb will be there. Senator Todd Young, a number of others will be in Northwest Indiana for that event. And essentially what it does, it's going, and there's also an extension of the South Shore Rail Line that's underway now. That's another nearly $1 billion in work going on. This is transforming that rail line. It will take about 30, 35 minutes off of the commute from Northwest Indiana into downtown Chicago. They're already seeing not only investment along the rail line in terms of economic development, but seeing people moving away from Illinois. People who work in downtown Chicago, they're saying, hey, we might just come over and live in Northwest Indiana, lower taxes, but better quality of life, cost of living, all those types of things, and we can get downtown quicker than ever before.
But to live in Northwest Indiana, it means to have to clean up Northwest Indiana. Gary and Hammond and these issues have been dealing with the problems for years. And I know that there are people paying close attention to this, working hard on this. Does the double tracking mean more investment into Northwest Indiana for the quality of life, the living, the safety, security things?
Yeah, no question about it. It's a great point. We've already begun to see it, actually, in Michigan City, as an example. A major mixed-use development, several hundred million dollars, that is underway in Michigan City. We're seeing places like Valparaiso. In fact, we've got a story on our site right now of 40 it's a big number, $40 million brewery complex that's going in, an old windshield wiper factory in Valparaiso that is going along as well. Some challenges exist in Gary, and actually the announcement today, or the event today, I should say, is actually at a station in Gary, so some challenges there. But you're looking throughout the region, Maryville and Whiting, Valpo, a number of these communities that are investing in quality of life to attract people. And you saw for the first time, the census came out and said population first time in, I think, over a decade, the population actually increased slightly in Northwest Indiana. So a sign that that perhaps some of these this investment is beginning to pay off, and they're seeing bigger things. Mitch Daniels had talked a lot about this, Tony, when he was governor, and looking at ways to engage Northwest Indiana. Second largest economy in the state, gateway to Chicago, tremendous potential that has not been realized. And there's a real feeling now that with the South Shore and some of these other projects that maybe Northwest Indiana's day is on the way.
Talking to Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. So we've got two major things happening in the month of May. Caitlin Clark effect with the WNBA, the Indy 500. Now, the month of May from IndyCar, and I think it was a rather good showing at the Grand Prix, and the great weather certainly didn't hurt anything. We've talked about those numbers before. We've talked about what that effect is. Do we have an idea of effect of the Caitlin Clark effect? What this means for example, the home games that are clearly sold out and are going to be televised for the Fever, what this means to downtown and what it means to Indiana as a whole?
Yeah, you know, it's anecdotal at this point. We're not going to know until it actually happens. I've got actually watching the TV right now. There's Caitlin Clark video being shown in downtown Indianapolis on cable news. So the attention it brings, the visibility, added visibility it brings to downtown certainly will have an impact. The impact she's having in the league, I don't know if you saw the WNBA are now getting chartered flights, which they never had before. All attributed to the Caitlin Clark effect. But when you look at the national television, 36 of 40 games that are going to be on national platforms this season, that's tremendous. And then you see a crowd. I think the preseason game was 13,000 fans at Gainbridge last week. That's a huge number. And obviously those people are spending money downtown. So if this takes off, and a lot of people, you know, she's a rookie, a lot of pressure on her to perform. But if things go as folks think they will go, I think the impact will be substantial for downtown Indianapolis. And don't forget what's going on, with the Pacers, obviously, in a big win this weekend. So getting that excitement downtown, we all know what it was like. Remember what it was like in the 90s, the Pacers and Racers and what that was all about. The Colts were on their run. It really changes the vibe downtown and also affects the bottom line as well.
And that's just it, right? Changing the vibe, I get. You know, when the Pacers do what they did, winning two in a row, evening the series 2-0, and you win by 32 as they did Sunday, Mother's Day, against the Knicks. I mean, it's crazy. And there were times they were up by 40, I think it was.
Yeah.
That's good vibe. But the translation to I feel safe going downtown, the translation to everything is better in Indianapolis, the translation to money across the sphere, that's the question. Is it one for one just that quick, or have you been able to see, or do people think that these things over time build, and do we know what that timeline is?
Yeah, I think it's over time, but you also look at getting people downtown and people beginning to see some of the big projects that you and I have talked about that are in the pipeline. Obviously, a little further down the road, the remake of Circle Center, but the Elanco campus, the hotels downtown, the new hotels, the work in and around Gainbridge Fieldhouse adds to the experience of all those people coming down, and that builds on that mindset, if you will, about downtown Indianapolis. So I think it's all a positive, and again, a lot of excitement downtown, the restaurants doing more business, all in all a good thing.
Before I let you go, as we have discussed a lot of drama with the Indy 11, with Mayor Joe Hogsett of Indianapolis, with Major League Soccer, and how these moves have been made, now we're hearing through your sister publication at the Indianapolis Business Journal that the City County Council President Vop Ossoli will be the sponsor of the proposed new tax district that will move 11 Park, the Indy 11, Ersol Ozdemir's group out and allow for a new ownership group and allow for a new tax district to place the stadium somewhere else. Is it a surprise that Vop Osley is doing this? And what are you hearing about maybe where the council or the business community might be on this?
I'm not hearing a lot. I don't think it's a surprise that he would sponsor this, to be sure. But you really continue to not hear, a bunch about it. And more will begin to come out as this goes through the the process, the public process, if you will. Chuck Surak, I know that was another development that the Indy 11 got in their camp, a new investor in that potential ownership group. Chuck Surak, the founder of Sweetwater Sound in Fort Wayne, big bucks, deep pockets. He's on board with Urselo's Demir. So we'll continue to watch it play out and look forward to new details. Never a dull moment.
Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com. Appreciate you. Matt.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Man, that 30-year fixed a little bit down. Dow futures up 57. NASDAQ futures up 49. Oil prices starting to go back up. The Brent crude now at 83.30 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate, which is always a little bit lower, at 78.83. The 10-year Treasury. Been playing under 4.5 right now, 4.48, but the 30-year fixed down to 7.21 from the 7.35 it was just a little over a week ago. Again, the Fed is, or at least the markets think the Fed are going to bring down rates. I have no proof of this happening, and I don't want it to happen. It's not that I don't want rates down. It's that the inflation doesn't stop. And I've had people, you know, send me messages saying that this is ridiculous. And of course you want to lower the rates. The only reason to keep them up is to hurt Biden. Our economic reality is, and the economic reality states, that inflation is still high. And if we bring down interest rates and allow more cash into the system, that inflation is going to remain high and go higher. So what should one do? One should keep interest rates where they are to slow things down. That's what should happen. Then there was this, a study out of the Washington Post had the reporting. So you have companies that said you have to go back to the office. Not my company. I am actually, we know that the show has kind of sounded a little different today. I am day one in the new studio. Studio one is what I'm dubbing it right now. And I don't know if we're allowed to have naming rights for it. Because that's a whole thing. Because we have sponsorships to the station. But this is a different studio. So I don't know what the rules are. But right now I'm calling it Studio One. So we're in Studio One, and it's a different configuration. So we've had a little more echo, and I think we may have solved the problem. You know, you live, you learn. You got to try these things. And yes, I still work, from my undisclosed location, and it's pretty awesome. Not necessarily in the studios in downtown Indy, but a lot of people have realized that this remote work thing doesn't work. You need people in the office. For productivity, for creativity, for team building, for all sorts of things, you need people connected to each other. And you can't have this remote working. It's not creating a benefit. It's not creating a result. It's not creating a bang for a buck with a lot of different kinds of companies. So you have got a series of groups that have said, hey, you got to get back to the office. And what we have found is that in the world of tech, the people they said, hey, you have to be back to the office, those people were like, nah, I'll find something else. There are other things that are more important to me. Thank you. I'm going to go, make my living elsewhere. there was a strong correlation between senior-level employees departing directly after a mandate was implemented, and that these policies, quote, had a negative effect on the tenure and seniority of their respected workforce. So when you forced people coming back, they were like, eh, nah. I find that to be fascinating. Because I guess the question is, where did they go? Where, what company are they now going to? What is it that they're going to be doing? To whom are they working for? Themselves? Are you telling me that if you're working for the employer, you are no longer effective if you weren't in the office, but if you then became a consultant and worked for that same employer, you didn't have to be in the office and you were effective? I'm very curious as to how companies are going to thread this needle. In terms of downtown growth, you certainly would love to have people back in the office place, because there's a lot of open office space. Interesting study over there, as reported by the Washington Post. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means for the future there, for how people decide to run a business and where they think that they've got their leverage. And maybe these people who decided, you know what, I'll go it on my own, I'm not worried about it, maybe they'll soon realize that, no, that's not going to work the same either. Maybe for some of those people, it will always be okay. For some of them, they'll realize, you know what, I need to be around others. And then there are some of us who are like, nah, I'm good right where I'm at. Tony Katz, I'm going to get yelled at. 93 WIBC, good morning. So people made a lot of noise about Jerry Seinfeld doing the commencement address at Duke, and the students walked out. That's not what happened. I understand that that's what they reported. Dozens walk out before Jerry Seinfeld's commencement speech at Duke in protest. Yeah, dozens. Maybe two dozen. No, it wasn't like 1,000 people walked away. Jerry Seinfeld, pro-Israel, but the Jew-hating bigots don't like it, so they walked out. They're not people interested in debate or conversation. I'm surprised they didn't storm the stage. It wasn't this madness that we've seen in other places. There were graduation ceremonies where, you know, people started pulling out Palestinian flags and they refused to leave the stage. Now, no one from the school tackled the guy. No one decided to put him in a chokehold and remove him from the stage. Tony, that's so violent. You get to disrupt my graduation ceremony with your nonsense, bigoted, Jew-hating, genocide-loving Palestinian flag? Nah. You might find yourself, you know, we'll go full Sergeant Slaughter in the Cobra Clutch. You're not special. These people are not special. And they need to be told that every single day. Meanwhile, at Princeton, this one is great. The students at Princeton, wearing their keffiyehs, cultural appropriation, they can't believe that the university hasn't given in to their demands. I mean, they're on a hunger strike, don't you know?
Solidarity with the people of Palestine and the people of Gaza. We are now on day 8 of our hunger strike, and we continue to put our bodies on the line for the sake of the liberation of the Palestinian people, who have been under forced famine since Israeli policies on October 9th announced a blockade that have created conditions of forced famine, massive food insecurity, and starvation for the people of the Gaza Strip.
None of that is true, although aid has been difficult because Hamas steals the aid. Maybe they should stop bombing people. Maybe they should stop taking hostages. But no. No discussion of that. These people are telling you who they are. But wait, there's more.
Since we began our hunger strike, we have had simple demands. We want a meeting and good faith negotiations with the university to talk about disclosure and divestment from companies involved in the Israeli occupation. And we want amnesty from legal and disciplinary charges for students that have been arrested for peaceful protests. Since that time, the university has failed to actually engage with our demands. And they have made clear that they still fail to acknowledge that a genocide is even occurring. We know that the university is not committed to keeping its students safe if it has failed to allow the hunger strikers to end their strike by meeting our very simple requests.
The university is at fault for our hunger strike because they won't do what we want them to do. You spoiled nonsense child. You yutz of a human being. No one should hire you for anything. You're not very bright. The university, I would hope, thinks that you're wrong. And if you want to have a hunger strike, you go have a hunger strike. It doesn't affect what we do. The university won't allow us to eat because they won't do what we want to do so we can stop the hunger strike. Now it's been learned that the doctors have said that they're really endangering their health. So they have to stop the hunger strike. So a new group is starting a hunger strike. Whatever. No one owes you anything. No one owes you a meeting. No one has to listen to you. No one has to do what you want. What you want is terrible. You support terrorists. You're freaks. You're losers and you're freaks. America has spoken and the frat guys are leading the way. You're supposed to say fraternity, not frat. And there's a whole reason for that. So I should be respectful. I should be respectful. These guys, these fraternity guys leading the way, and everybody who is looking at them saying, oh, look at the toxic masculinity. People like this loser who is speaking regarding Princeton.
But what we have experienced as well as hunger strikers is amazing shows of solidarity from community members. And today we're very pleased to announce that an incredible group of Princeton faculty will be joining us in Solidarity Fest.
You should fire all of those professors. All that staff that's going to join them, fire them. But I think it's very okay to say this guy's a loser. He is. What he wants isn't what rational people want. And what these so-called protesters want is violent and disgusting. If they want to have a hunger strike, whatever. You want me to worry about you? Not for a second. Let me be more clear. If you engage a hunger strike, you have to be willing to die for your cause. Now, your cause happens to be support of terrorists, and I think that's super weird. That I wish you weren't doing. But if you want to have a hunger strike for terrorists, go right ahead. If you die, you die. Why would I spend any time on you? I make the compelling argument day after day, and I have week after week, about why that is wrong, why terrorists are wrong, and why we shouldn't side with them. I've explained the nonsense of the commentaries from people like Bernie Sanders who keep talking about a two-state solution, but Hamas and Iran don't want a two-state solution. They want to destroy America, and they'll destroy Israel on their way to doing so. You want to now support these people, the hunger strike? Go ahead. You want to support these people by blocking the roads? Did you see that in Florida? Queers for Palestine were blocking the road to Disney. The police arrested them in 11 seconds. Queers for Palestine? Do you have any idea how insane that is? Go spend a week in Gaza and announce that you're gay. Let's see what happens. You want to have a hunger strike? Whatever. You die, you die. Please don't ask me to worry about people who don't actually care about their own humanity. They're on their own, right?